So, Halloween is next week, is that right? Who knows what day Halloween's on? You know? Well, let's see if we can deal with a non-adult for that one. Anybody, you know? Thursday, coming up on Thursday. Are you excited for Halloween? What does Halloween have to do with the church? I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Look at this picture here. That's a nice picture, but it's not what I'm there. Look at that one. That poor little baby. Why do parents do that to their little babies? These are parents that take their little babies outside, and they go trick-or-treating with their little babies all dressed up. The babies don't have any idea what's going on, but they go out because they want candy for themselves. The parents do. Isn't that right? Do you get a lot of kids at your house, you guys? Yeah? Some? Do you have a house on your street that's really spooky? I remember I had a spooky house on my street when I was trick-or-treating when I was little. There are different things that we do as families on Halloween. What does that have to do with the church? I'm going to get to that in just a minute. One thing that we do, and you help me with this, when you have your big bag of booty, we used to call it booty, full of candy. And when I was a kid, we used to use pillowcases. And you can carry a lot of candy in a pillowcase. Do you still do that? Now, when you get home with your pillowcase, what do you do? What's the first thing you do when you get home? Wrong. You dump it on the floor. Isn't that what you do? And then you start to sort it. You sort the A pile, the chocolate bars and the chips. And then you have the B pile, which is kind of like not bad. And then you have the C pile, which is like candy kisses that are a year old that people were recycling. And apples. Apples are good, but apples don't belong in a Halloween candy bag, really, do they? You sort it out, and then the C pile that you say to your parents, you can choose from the C pile. Halloween's fun. What does it have to do with the church? I'll tell you in just a second. When our son Taylor was 3 years old, Taylor didn't quite get what he had to say at trick-or-treat time. So we went out, he was dressed as a little ghost, and the first house he went to, they opened the door and he said, "Trick-or-treat, I love you." They didn't know what to say. And then the next one and the next one, "What a cute little ghost, you're so cute, and we love you too." That's what he said to him. He didn't know. Have you ever had someone come to your house trick-or-treating that was like 6'2" and had a voice lower than Johnny Cash's voice, really low voice, and smelled like Old Spice? You ever had one? And you think, "I know you. You're in university now. Aren't you a little bit too old to be?" Trick-or-treating's fun. What I want to talk to you about is costumes. Have you chosen your costume yet for Halloween? You haven't. You have? Okay, what are you going to be for Halloween, Noah? Werewolf. Oh, nice. Some people get pretty fancy with costumes. I saw someone last year, downtown Collingwood, who was dressed up as the CN Tower. And as they walked along the top of the tower, kept brushing low-hanging branches, it really didn't work all that well. Some people just get a little bit... If you are undecided yet with your costume, I might be able to just give you a few ideas. Here's one. That's kind of silly. Somebody dressed up as a bunny coming out of a hat. Here's another one. Man on a horse. See, the horse's legs are his legs, right? That's kind of cool. And then you can walk around and trick-or-treat. I don't get that one at all. A salad. Hot dog. Some people like to dress up as food, as you can see. There's another food guy there. Oh, I love this one. Two little guys in a very cool plane. Now, these are the kinds of parents that used to make us look bad. Parents that just go all out. I could barely make a ghost out. What's with the food theme? This is macaroni and cheese? I don't know. Oh, I don't even... That's not even right. Like, that's just... What's the matter with people? Well, that's kind of a cool one. I think that might be a grown-up in that. Now, here's the thing. Do people really feel that they need to torture their pets at Halloween time? I don't get it. I have a few more, and just in case you're still wanting to, anybody going to be a cowboy? Do you remember, this is really like cowboy hat, kind of like Crocodile Dundee. Remember, I've got a knife, and I don't do voices very well. How about this, Pilgrim? We're sending a boy out into a man's world. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to hit you. Oh, maybe I will.
Pirate. He's going to be a pirate. Do you know the favorite letter in the alphabet is for pirates? R. Do you know how pirates like to communicate with each other? Eye to eye.
I'm here all week, thank you very much. What else do I have? Oh, you might have been wondering what this gnarly old broom is doing leaning up at the front of the sanctuary. What do you suppose this might be? What?
It's a witch's broom. It's a real witch's broom. This is not even pretend. Look at this thing.
I know it's a real witch's broom because this came from Kimberly's house years ago. And the first time I met Kimberly, she was dressed as a witch. She had a long, pointy hat on and a green face, and she had a cackle. A witch's cackle, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood up when she cackled like that. She'll do it for you. Just ask her. Well, not right now, but... So there are just a few more ideas for you if you're still wondering about what kind of a costume to have. Now, here's the thing. Here's what the Bible says. What would it be like put on the clothes of Jesus, kind of as a costume, I guess. These are Jesus' sandals. Can you pretend these are Jesus' sandals? Wouldn't it be great to go to some kind of a museum where they had the real sandals that Jesus wore? I think these gnarly sandals look, they look like they walked from Nazareth to Bethlehem to Jerusalem to Lake Galilee, all across Judea. And can we pretend that this might be Jesus' cloak that he wore? And I don't know really what Jesus' cloak might have looked like, but can we pretend that this is... Now, if you were to put these things on, because what the Bible says is Jesus wants us to put on his clothes. What do you suppose that even means? Jesus wants us to put on his clothes. Mean that maybe what? Anybody? That maybe he wants us to act like him and to behave like him. The fun of Halloween is pretending that you're something. You can put on any costume and you can pretend you're anything. And in the Bible, Jesus says, what I want you to do is put on who I am. Put on the clothes of Christ. All through the New Testament, put on the clothes of Christ. I have a friend who said, told me when he wakes up in the morning, he imagines himself getting out of bed, swinging his legs over the side of the bed, and putting on Jesus' sandals. Just every morning he does this. It's like part of his practice every morning. And then he imagines himself just putting on the cloak of Jesus, and when he gets up then, he just remembers to behave in that way, and to act like Jesus. Two things. Before I'm finished, I want to tell you about what it means to dress like Jesus. Did you see my suit of armor up here? It's pretty impressive. I actually looked into getting a real suit of armor. I wanted to put it up there. The reading that we heard was all about a suit of armor that God gives us to wear. And this is all I could find. This is from our drama room downstairs. But here's the first thing. When Jesus said, put on my clothes, what that means, the first thing, is that it's like putting on a suit of armor. And it's not pretend, it's real. So here's my suit of armor story. Some of you have heard this before. I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories. When I was 10 years old, there was nothing more for a Halloween costume that I wanted. It was a Roman suit of armor. Because I walked by the Kresge store way long ago, way, way long ago, there was a store named Kresge's. And I walked by it, and in the front window of that store was a suit of armor with a Halloween costume. And I wanted it more than anything. And I was delighted when my mom bought it for me. And it had five pieces to it. It had a breastplate that fit this way. It had a shield that was a big four-sided Roman shield. You'd strap it to your forearm. It had plate protectors. It had a helmet with red frilly stuff coming out of the top, sort of like this one. This one's kind of bushly. Look at it. The one I had was amazing. It had like real red frilly stuff coming out of the top. The best part of the costume was the sword. And it wasn't one of those long, pointy fencing swords. It wasn't one of those. This was a sword that had a stout, wide blade about that thick. And it was about this long. And it had little indentation marks on it to make it look like it had been in battles. And I put all that costume on, and I went up to my room, and I looked in the mirror. Because I wanted to see if I looked as invincible as I felt. And I called my brother Rich, which in retrospect I see now was a huge mistake. And I said to my brother Rich, will you help me test the strength of my armor? Not surprisingly, he was delighted with that suggestion. So he leaves, he comes back in like 30 seconds with a broom handle a lot bigger than this one. And he wound up like Guerrero Jr. in the bottom of the knife. And he brought that handle down upon my breastplate with all the strength and vigor that I had grown accustomed to from him. The next thing I knew, I was on the floor. I woke up. Must have passed out. My beautiful Roman helmet with the red frilly top had flown over to the other end of the room. And as I got my breath back and stood up, I looked down, and to my dismay, I saw that my breastplate was cracked right down the middle. It was quarter-inch thick plastic. What was I thinking? It was just a toy. It was just a Halloween costume. Why did I ever think, even to begin with, that that costume would protect me? It was just a Halloween toy. Jesus said, if you put on my clothes, there is a suit of armor that you're going to wear that's not just a toy, it's real. It really will protect you. The shield is the shield of faith. So if you believe in the promises that you hear in church and read in the Bible, that God loves you and that God has prepared for you something beautiful, and there's nothing that can separate you from that, and that when you're hurting and when you're going through difficult times, God will take that and mend it and weave it into something beautiful. And Paul's saying in that reading, wear that shield of faith that will protect you. And the helmet, Paul says, he says it's a helmet of salvation. And that just means we're saved by God's love. So never forget that God loves you. And when you make a mistake, as we all do, when you mess up, God's love will forgive you. And every day, you'll be a brand new creation. Wear that helmet, it'll protect you. And the sword, my favorite part of the costume, when I had my pretend, was the sword. And in the Bible it says, the sword is the Spirit of God that will always be with you. And that sword has fought many battles. So when you're fighting a battle, don't fight that battle on your own. Take the sword of the Spirit. It will help you. It will protect you, and it's real. It's not a costume. It's not plastic. Last thing. Jesus said, I want you to put on my clothes. And when you put on my clothes, I want you to change your behavior. You can't just put on my clothes and not change. I want you to change your behavior, and I want you to act like me. Does anybody know who this man is?
Yes.
Everybody loves Mr. Bean, right? Mr. Bean, if you don't know, for some of you young people, is a silly English gentleman who's always getting himself into trouble. Well, Mr. Bean gets an invitation from the Queen of England to have supper with her. And Mr. Bean is delighted. He gets dressed up. He goes to the supper where the Queen of England is, but he doesn't know how to act at the supper table. He doesn't know how to act. So he sits down, and instead of taking the nice folded napkin and putting it nicely over his lap, he tucks it into the front of his shirt. And then when he gets a drip on his nose, he blows his nose with the same napkin and then honks loudly, in the Queen is aghast. And then when the food finally comes, poor Mr. Bean doesn't know how to eat his soup properly, so he's slurping his soup with loud noises and then he burps when he's done, and the Queen is aghast. He doesn't know how to use the fancy cutlery, so he just starts eating the food with his fingers. The Queen is aghast. And then he starts playing with his green peas and rolling them up and down the table. And to top it all off, he falls asleep in the middle of the Queen's speech, and he starts to snore. Poor Mr. Bean. He was asked to leave the table because he didn't know how to act. Well, Jesus told a story that was very similar of someone who was invited to a king's banquet. And this person was so excited, and he got there, and there were people celebrating, and there was friendship and laughter, and there was everything there to make anybody happy at the banquet. And he sat up down at the table, and he started to eat, and then the king walked up to this man, and the king said, "You are going to have to leave." And he looked at the king and said, "Why?" Just like we wonder, why? And the king said, "You didn't change your clothes." Jesus said, "If you want to follow me, I want you to put on my clothes. I want you to put my sandals on and my cloak and everything else that is who I am. And I want you to change your behavior and I want you to act like me. I want you to put me on. Put me on and act like me." How do we do that? How do we act like Jesus? Really simple. This is so simple. Anybody can get this. Believe that God loves you. Believe everything that God has promised you, and then love each other and forgive each other. If you do that, miracles happen in your life. When you're thinking about what Halloween costume to wear, think about the Bible message that Jesus wants you to put him on. If you do that, you'll walk into something that is even greater than a pillowcase full of candy. It's nice to have the young people with us today. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. Sherry Buffonet is here. Oh, and we're going to do an offering first. Oh, a hymn. Okay, let's do the hymn.